Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz, Gerald the Guru Johnson. Goo, you want to know the two words that you should be the most fearful of?
Two words?
Because it doesn't exist.
All right, tell me.
Free money. Doesn't exist.
Oh, boy.
Those two words, when you hear them from someone, run for the hills.
And I put them on blast for giving us the recommendation. And then that Carter Chickering's tennis, his recommendation was over. And what?
It was a guarantee.
It was a guarantee.
It was a lock. Shout out Drew.
It felt like the match went 2 seconds.
Yeah, it was over before it even started.
And if he's listening, I didn't like what you did out there. You were having some fun at his expense.
Who, me?
Yeah, out there.
Oh, well.
Hated you. I was just like, well, that's how they do me.
Well, he asked me what
I
thought.
You win some, you lose some. Come on now.
You know, I typically do, I thought about it, and I said, I don't know. I said, I probably wouldn't do that.
You did, man.
And you just got to be wary.
Do you own, I'm serious, do you own a tennis racket? Like, is there one at your crib?
No, I have my baseball mitt from college that I still have. I have a pickleball paddle that someone gifted me. I didn't buy it.
That's big as a ping pong paddle?
It's a little bigger.
All right, okay.
It's a little more sizable. And then I have a basketball.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I could picture you playing tennis, but you know how to play tennis.
Yeah, I'm not that good at it, but I know how to play.
Dibs and I, the station was trying to set up a match years ago, like Lowe and I racing. What a squash of Dibs. He's got bad knees.
Yeah, that one I would take.
Look at Grandy laughing. The champ!
But okay.
Knockout champ.
But, hitting a tennis ball properly and well, repeatedly, consistently, is not as easy as you think.
I play the game, Evan. I know that. I'm not McEnroe, but I know how to play the game. And I, unlike you, own a tennis racket.
Thought you were going to go with black and red.
Yeah. Dude, look at you.
All right, let's go to Austin, who's in the city.
Austin,
what's up, man? How are we feeling? What's going on?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm just at work. How y'all doing?
Hanging in.
That's for sure. Look, man, I'm going to need Moody. I'm going to call him Moody. I'm going to call him Jake. I need Jake to start connecting on these field goals because at the end of the day, we lacking on this offense with our receivers and whatnot going through these injuries. So it can look like going into this season, we're going to have to rely on our defense and Jake to pin points on the board because, like I said, we ain't looking too good on that offensive end right now until we get healthy. But just like how we when we had Robbie Gould and we relied on the defense and Robbie Gould to pin points on the board and lead us, you know? And we made it to the playoffs that way when we had Jimmy G. So it can be that type of season this year with the lack of weapons that we have on offense. What y'all think about that?
Mm. Go ahead, E.
Thanks, Austin. No, yeah. Appreciate the call.
Go ahead.
Well, I think it puts more pressure on someone like Brock Purdy because Jimmy Garoppolo is not as gifted of a passer. But that was a strategy. You play sound defense. You have a capable running game, your special teams is nails, and Jimmy G puts you in a position where, with all of those other things, the puzzle fits.
I love it.
I don't think that applies to this team because I don't see a top five defense as it stands. They're very young. I don't think that they have as good of a kicker as they did when Garoppolo was quarterbacking, and I'm not sure about their ability to run the football because their offensive line is either banged up or looks to be not as good as it once was.
You didn't say anything wrong.
There's a lot there that I think Brock Purdy's going to have to deal with that Jimmy Garoppolo simply didn't.
And that's why I needed you, and I came in today not trying to do too much in my assessment. Who lost 38-0 last night? Buffalo? Chicago? Chicago. Caleb Williams looks good. Anyway, it's preseason, but he was throwing darts. We know he has an arm. Bottom line is I couldn't make a decision about what I saw in preseason. But Brock, in that first series, in those first few passes, Evan, I know this sounds crazy. I was just like, man, he not locked in. He's getting rid of the rock. But I've seen this before. But my takeaway was, okay, Goose, slow down. you like what you saw with him and Pearsall. And again, I don't know what the Raiders were trying to do, who was out there, whatnot. But it just got me to thinking what you just said while I'm bringing this up, E. We're going to see him throw it more than I think we've ever seen him throw it, because I believe teams are going to have more success trying to shut down the Niners' run, load in the box. And I'm okay and lightweight excited to see if we get, or Kyle by a necessity, if we see Brock cook more. Now, you're already telling me, or I feel like he's going to be cooking with less in regard to who's out there. No Debo, Ayuk not there. Looks like Robinson might not be there early. So, Evan, it's going to be imperative week one in Seattle. If Pooney is not there, or if he's there and he's gimpy, like, they got to come out guns blazing, or to get close to that mark as possible, because there's no gimmies. I'm looking at the schedule and I'm like, we don't know who's going worst to first or who's going to be that surprise team. And it happens in the NFL all year.
Well, and look, I get it.
Every year.
It's preseason, pump the brakes.
Yeah.
But the most, I think, positive thing that I felt coming out of that game.
Give it to me.
And really it was in the first drive, was I know Jake Moody made a game-winning kick. I know he went 5 of 6, hit a couple from 50.
5 of 6, E.
5 of 6.
That's a lot of kicks.
But I think that Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall's connection was the most positive thing that I saw. Like, if I'm actually going to apply it to the regular season.
I'm with you. Because remember, I scoffed at that. All those reports, they look like they're, you know, in camp. And I ain't mad at nobody because they're just telling the truth. But I'm like, yeah, okay, talk to me. But, Evan, I saw something like, and again, here I go. Stop me, Evan. Put me in a straitjacket. The way that thing was moving and going, if I had to, you know, I'm like, Pearsall might have games where he has 9 or 10 or 11 catches. Like, the way this thing is set up, I was like, man, those are 3-4 early, like, boom, boom, boom. And I know it's different when it's actual counts. But, Evan, if they got something there, I mean, Juwan, I'll just say this. You might get the bag. You might really be hurt. I don't know what's going on. But the way that thing looked through a small sample size, you don't want to get left out, man. And, Evan, by all accounts, on the Guru computer, he hadn't been getting many reps with Brock this offseason.
Well, he hasn't practiced, but maybe not as many because he started camp with the hamstring. But, you know, like yesterday, or pardon me, on Saturday, I felt like you just had to put WR right next to his number. His wide receiver one.
Yeah.
I didn't think that, like, I didn't think about Juwan Jennings on Saturday that much.
Right.
Brock was moving the ball around the field. In fact, the one area that they struggled, to me, is not the area where Juwan Jennings, I think, is going to impact a bunch.
That's the red zone?
It's the red zone.
Yeah.
I mean, they struggled with him in the lineup last year anyways.
No doubt. And Kittle.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's all about number 23 down there. You know, if Christian McCaffrey is truly the difference maker.
They didn't have him for the first 8 games last year. Just go figure.
Well, and they didn't really have him for most of the season. The only game that they really had him for was Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And
you are right.
He looked good, and then he got hurt the next week in Buffalo. That's just how it went for CMC and for the 49ers. But if Christian McCaffrey is the difference in the red zone, yeah, I absolutely love what Ricky Pearsall is going to be able to bring between the 20s. In fact, that's what I think. That's why it kind of reminded me of last year in 2024, that Brock Purdy just was surgical. 5 of 7, 66 yards. Didn't matter if they could run, could throw, whatever. And then they got all clogged up. And those lanes get a little bit tighter.
No, it's harder, man.
And it's harder to thread the needle. And even with Brock's ability to scramble, there was just nothing there, and they ended up kicking a chippy.
And I do wonder how much of that was on Kyle. And, you know, you could say, Goo, is that fair or not? But when you condense the field and so much of your playbook you could throw out now because you're not going to fool the defense, it was just kind of uncanny. And, again, you just said it. McCaffrey wasn't out there for much of the start of the season. But what did you make on the other side of the ball, this kid Chase Lucas? No relation to Frank Lucas. Shout out Denzel, American Gangster. But, I mean, he's around the ball, Evan. I'm just wondering, like, okay. I think he's making a name for himself.
I think he is. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Yeah, he's probably been the most notable defensive player. I mean, I think the biggest 180, you know, negative to positive from preseason week one to week two was Nick Martin for me.
No, gotcha.
Week one, he had a couple missed tackles, looked like he was out of place at points. And against the Raiders, he was everywhere. You know, that guy, like in a way, the linebacker position, and this is what I think preseason is also about. It's building confidence in particular positions. Like I'm not that worried about the linebacking spot. You know, it's interesting. We talked about before training camp started, and even on the heels of last season, like who's the guy that's going to be missed most from their offseason mm-hmm. departures? And you said with Dre Greenlaw,
yeah,
right?
Oh my gosh. Evan, I'm dying on that hill, man. I hope I'm wrong.
Well, but from what I've seen from D Winners and Nick Martin in particular, that might be the position I feel the most sure about.
Man.
Compared to the rest of the guys who left.
And I would come in here and be like, Evan and everybody else, I got it wrong.
Well, I'm not saying that they're going to be Dre Greenlaw. Dre Greenlaw was a beast.
I hear you.
And his importance as a leader is unquantifiable. But in regards to just on-the-field productivity, I think between Winters and Martin, like those guys, they play fast. And they are extremely quick to the ball from what I've seen through the first two preseason games. So if I'm looking at, all right, their safeties, well, you got a couple question marks there. And I'm looking at now their guard position because Dominic Pooney.
Man, that hurts, E.
You know, is Zakal going to be that? Nick Zakal, pardon me, going to be the starting guard, perhaps? I don't feel that great. They had four false starts on the offensive line, and a lot of work were from backups who might now have to play. The running back position outside of McCaffrey, I don't know how I feel about
Thank
that.
Thank God for Jeff Wilson Jr. Like, just think about that. Like, he's going to get some totes.
He probably will.
Man.
And they signed him off the street.
That's amazing.
So, I don't know. You might need to tell Matt Breida to come out of retirement if one more guy goes down.
I'll say this to that too, Evan. On the flip side, the D-line, which I really, like, that's my baby in regard to my biggest concern. Four sacks. I know it was a preseason game. But, boy, if I undersold and we still, Mykael Williams, how big of a question mark is he? How exciting is that going to be when he's finally ready? Like, we see what he is, Evan. And there's going to be ups and downs, growing pains, but we're not seeing that yet. But I saw the Niners rush the passer who was out there. And I'm like, you know, okay, maybe Goo, maybe you got it wrong. And what you just said about Greenlaw, if that could be a situation to where I totally missed that one and that was a position that they could kind of mask and not take a dip, I mean, how far does that go in regard to what this team can do and Saleh have at his disposal defensively?
Well, you're not going to get Dre Greenlaw from these guys who are going to be in one way, shape, or form first-year starters. But, you know, maybe you can get a solid player there. Like, to me, that's what we're trying to figure out about their defense, the second youngest in football.
Just don't get exploited at that. You know what I mean? Like, offense knows Dre's not there. They're coming, E.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't be unplayable, which is what it felt like a lot of the guys who got reps last season kind of were. You know, it was people that you don't really want out there, but they have to be. And so maybe they make a couple plays and help you. This is from the 707 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Chase Lucas looks like K-1 Williams in the slot when the defense was cooking. I think he could be our lockdown slot guy. Let Lenore and Renardo play outside. And Lucas, obviously, in the slot. You know, I don't know. He certainly could be in the mix. I know they really like Upton Stout, their rookie that they drafted, I believe, in the fifth round.
Now, what's he dealing with, E?
Stout?
Yeah. I wanted to say I had a – oh, gosh, I stink. But anyway.
Well, I know that they kept him out of the first preseason game just because he's kind of looking like a starter. But
– and Mr. Florida State, Green, he's got – maybe I'm thinking about him. He's got something.
Yeah, I don't
– they all got something. How many – like you said, going into here, was it Barrels? He had an article in The Athletic, and going into this game, it was just like the walking wounded.
Yeah,
the Niners were, and then you lose Pooney.
Yeah, he's hit with a PCL and is going to be out for a few weeks. Hopefully it doesn't cost him a regular season game because he was – that's the thing, too. Like, Pooney last year was a 17-game starter.
Just think about that.
That's incredible.
He
was probably the biggest surprise of anybody on the offensive side of the ball.
Got to give it to you. I'll hit mine, for sure.
And so how can we – you know, can we keep him upright? I think he just got – a guy pushed back into him. You know, someone else got beat alongside him, and then he got banged up as a result of it. But Dominic Pooney, like, he's someone that you do need to stay healthy.
Mm.
because I don't know what's going to be behind him.
Yeah, and I know what's behind him when he's blocking, and that's Brock Purdy. You know what I'm saying, Evan? And that leads me to football. We know it's attrition, right? It's a violent sport. But what have you made, if anything, Evan, for Mac Jones? Like, if he had to start a game, where and I know it's kind of unfair to give it to you, but from what you've seen of him and his last spot, what do you think of Mac Jones if he had to start a game or two?
I think I would feel better about him than Brandon Allen, but I still wouldn't feel, I don't know, maybe some people believe he could be good, but yeah. I wouldn't feel confident about winning the game.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, well, I guess it depends on who they played, but last year, yeah, like I had no faith that Brandon Allen was going to go into Green Bay and beat the Packers.
But I was watching. We were watching, like, maybe. And yeah, you're right. That didn't happen.
I mean, we were hoping, but.
The dude's almost, I mean, he's quarterbacked some games, led a team in his rookie year. People forget about to the playoffs and
he was a Pro Bowler his rookie season.
And you just wonder if you're working with the Jedi Knight that is Kyle Shanahan on a good day could have you look the best version of yourself.
I mean, Sam Darnold came here for a year.
I know he threw a pick, but
last
yeah.
year he threw 35 touchdowns for the Vikings, got himself paid by the Seahawks.
That's incredible.
Mac Jones, I think, is probably looking to get the same deal. But again, it's if Mac Jones is on the field, that means that Brock Purdy's yeah. probably hurt.
Yeah, and no doubt.
Whatever you think about Brock Purdy, I don't think that's good for the 49ers. You know, I don't think that Mac Jones is somebody that can just step in and replicate what he does.
I just think, and I agree with you, but I do think in this new NFL, Evan, where it feels like guys are getting hurt or nicked up, I mean, and maybe I could be wrong, and people say it's always been that way, Goo, but the backup quarterback position now, Evan, is more important to me than it's ever been. That's just how I feel.
Why?
These dudes are these linemen, these blitzes, bigger, stronger, faster. You got to be able to at least, like you said, Brandon Allen, you had no confidence in him. And probably 98% of the fan base agree with you. But like when Dak went down and Cooper Rush was a quarterback, I honestly, and I'm not dissing Dak like I always do, but you felt like, man, they still might win the game. And that's what you want. And I think the Niners might have it. And Mac Jones, a former starter. Like, can you win a game or two?
Well, I don't know if they're any more important than they always have been. Like, who's it?
I guess what, and I would have to give you the data. It just feels like they get hurt more now than ever.
Quarterbacks?
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, I'm not. I'm honestly not sure about that. But if we're talking about backup quarterbacks, your season's, I believe, going in the wrong direction.
Now, how you feel about yours in San Diego, L.A. Trey Lance?
I hope he doesn't play.
Okay. And a lot of people are ready to say, oh, he's ready. I'm like, no.
But that's not just the case for the Chargers. I think that's the case for every single team that has a franchise guy. You do not want your backup quarterback playing if you have a franchise quarterback.
Right.
Because that means something has gone horribly wrong.
And sometimes it does. My point is, are you just dead on arrival when that happens? And I believe with Mac Jones, the Niners are not dead on arrival. And again, let's just say Purdy had to miss four games and they lost all four. I'd come in here and tell you I'm wrong, but he ain't chop mincemeat, you know?
No, I don't think he's Tanner Mordecai who got cut a week ago. But
he's better than Trey Lance. That we know.
Mac Jones?
Yeah. No, to me, I've seen it. But
I mean,
he's
definitely proven more.
Yeah.
He's absolutely proven more as a quarterback. But again, it's like, if we're talking about Mac Jones, to me, we're talking about a season that's
like Kansas City's done
spinning out of control.
If Mahomes, there is, I don't even know, I forget his name. That they ain't holding up if he goes out.
Lamar
either.
I would think so, but also okay. So there's very few situations in the NFL that play out like I think it was 2008 with the Patriots when Tom Brady tore his ACL and Matt Cassell stepped in and they still won 12 games. I think there's very few backup quarterback situations.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Matt Cassel, right?
Yeah.
Was that 08?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, they didn't make the playoffs that year.
Against the Jets, that happened.
They were the only team to go 11-5 and not make
11-5. 11.
Yeah, no
11
way.
Five. Yeah. Miami. That's. I only know that because Miami won the division. That's the last time they won the division.
Evan, we win 11 games and we don't make it, but go in.
Some years you make it with 8 or 9 wins.
The Seattle 7, remember that?
They won the division that year, yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Chargers won that division that year, and they were 9-7, I believe.
That is nasty.
I don't remember.
No.
That's nasty. 11
eight
wins.
Eight. They were 8-8.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. They were 4-8 and won the last 4 weeks. Yeah, this football ain't fair, man.
The life ain't fair.
Well, but their division, I think, is, I think the NFC West is more open than definitely the East. Well,
East got the Giants might be good, so the NFC East is
not necessarily open's not the right word, but I think it's the most parity of the NFC lies in the NFC West. The gap between whoever you have is the best team and the worst team to me is smaller than the gap between the best team in the South, the North, and the East, if that makes sense.
No, I got you.
Yeah, the West is 707 saying Mac looks bad. Bradley, let it rip on Saturday against the Raiders.
But he wasn't in there with the traditional one ones.
No, but he had that one laser. He just got drilled by a blitzer coming off the edge.
Hey, I saw it. I'm just saying all around, like, you know, you're not Trey Lance wasn't out there with the one ones, you know. But Chargers got receivers dropping like flies too.
He wasn't going against the one ones either.
Now that you got a point.
I don't know. Does it concern you at all that the Niners have not been able to run the ball with any effectiveness through the first 2 weeks of preseason? Or is it because McCaffrey's not on the field, it doesn't count?
Evan, I'm gonna take the latter. He's not on the field, it doesn't count. And then what if they were leading the league in rushing and he wasn't on the field? Would you be telling me right now, Goo, I think they're offensive? No, you got to take it, you know?
So on Saturday, they were 28 of 64, 28 carries, 64 yards, 2.5 yards on the ground per carry. Through two preseason games, 3.1 yards per carry. Now, again, McCaffrey has not played a single snap, nor I don't think he should. You're trying to preserve him as much as you can this season. That number, he has to be the difference.
There's no doubt. And he's good enough when healthy that he would add to that, you would think he.
I would think.
Okay.
But is it going to go from 3.1 to 5.5 or 5.1? I think it might have been 5.1 or 5.2.
When healthy, dude.
Their yards per carry during 2023? Or is it going to go from 3.1 to 3.8?
And that would be all bad for everybody involved.
It just means more is going to be on Brock Purdy. Like, I know it's the preseason, but I do think, and we saw it last year too, there's going to be a lot of third and longs. There's going to be a lot of third and 18 situations.
I couldn't believe they got that. I'm like, I know it's pretty. What the hell are the Raiders doing? Third and 18, whop.
And again, it's preseason, but Purdy bailed him out.
Yeah, he did.
He's going to have to do more of that than he ever has before.
And I'm excited because I think he can do it, but Willie's another question.
Well, but okay, yeah, we know he can do it. But how consistently can you do it?
And he did it when they were loaded, what we deem loaded, and a lot of now it's different. Can you do it and still, like, I think he's got a cape on. I think that they're going to have to, he's got to, some games are going to be Purdy. You got to take us to, I know you're not getting the best blocking up front or whatnot. You got to ad lib, throw on the run. Oh my God, Evan, take hits and get back up. Like, I mean, that's every quarterback, but. He's going to have to do a lot. That's what I see than he's had to do the last 3 years. Well, and I don't even think that's a stretch if you look at this, what's going on.
Well, he hasn't had to make that many plays. When in 22 when he took over and then 23, he didn't have to make as many plays a game. Now, he has, but let's say, I don't know. So I think like he's only thrown the ball more than 30 times or 30-plus times. It's like 15,
see, wow.
Maybe 20 times.
Must be nice.
Well, he doesn't have a great record in those games.
Man, E.
Oh, we got to hit a break here. But on the other side, I'm going to tell you why I actually, I don't.
And my movie review.
Well, yes, we do. We have your Denzel movie review coming up in just about 15, 20 minutes. We'll get to that as well. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. I think asking Purdy to make a bunch of plays is asking for trouble. And it's not because of the preseason game, but just seeing what he did on that first drive, it was positive, but I think could be potentially asking for trouble. That segment was brought to you by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans. Hey, Football Talk on 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. So visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Guru's movie review coming up in about 10 minutes.
Is this Tears for Fears?
Away. I don't know. What is
Looking
this, Kenny?
Go, chalk one up, baby. Yeah.
Who's Tears for Fears?
Tower of Power.
Oh, I was just listening to.
Look at my boy.
Is it Don't Lead a Horse?
Ah. Oh, now you're asking a little too much. I know you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Don't change the horses.
And that is
in the middle of a stream. Tower of Power.
Oh. Right.
Back to Oakland. Oh, yeah. Come on, man. I know a little bit. Not a lot. Just a little bit. Goal this year is to read.
Look at my man. I didn't read over the weekend.
I'll say 15 books this year. That's my goal.
Do you have a best
book? I didn't get there
book.
Last year. A best book?
Yeah. Is there one that you're just like, this is the best reading material of my life?
See,
or
I feel
is
like
that
if I don't say
hard?
The Bible, the people are going to get mad at me.
I was about to jump in and say the Bible for me.
But it's not my favorite book. Yeah. I don't sit there and read the Bible like that. I'm well versed in it.
No.
But I don't read it
I
like
got
that.
You. You know? Mine is, you didn't ask, why black people tend to shout. Rest in peace, Ralph Wiley. He was a writer, sports writer, and columnist in Washington, D.C. So you haven't read that one, huh?
No,
I might bring
it
to you.
I'll put
it
on the list.
No, I might even bring it to you.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd read it. I read stuff people give me. I read recommendations. Read
Stoddy
all kinds
and
of
I
stuff.
Have never exchanged a book.
That doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
I didn't like that energy behind. What are you saying?
I'm saying Steiny, though he is well read, doesn't read a lot.
He's read a lot.
He
in
was
the past.
Forced to read a lot.
My man. Yeah, we love you, Steiny.
Steiny, as much as he's obviously well educated and grammatically correct at all times. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy to just kick up and. And
my reading, and this is sign of the times, shout out Prince, Twitter and Facebook, reading people's comments.
That's not reading.
But it is when you get to my AG.
480 characters or less, or what is it, 240 now? Might be more.
In the bed at nighttime with my thing all bright, just like, get a life, goo. It's coming.
I know. We're on our way. You can start with... like foreign films or foreign TV series in which you have to read the subtitles.
I got to be careful here. Don't call CPS. But before my daughter went back, we were watching a movie.
Yeah.
She said, Dad, I kind of get off on watching, having the caption on. I went off.
Wait. Caption for?
What they're saying.
Well, if they're speaking in another language.
No, they were not. This was English. So it triggered me.
Oh, you don't like subtitles?
No.
Dude.
Messes with the fish. He goes, you're not 80 years old. Papa does that. Shout out Norm. Turn the caption off. Dude, we got into it.
But it helps you pay attention.
Well, she said something to that, but I was like, get glass. What's good? Or a hearing aid. What? Turn it off. I can't watch movies with the caption on it.
I might be completely off base, but I think more people watch stuff with captions than not.
Yeah, this is a new thing, I think, Evan. And I think it shows like Game of Thrones where the names and the places are so odd. You're like, I don't know who's who.
Okay, that
so
I would understand.
It's easier to follow when...
Thick but, accents.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but even like... what? Like
maybe watching, I need to text her and apologize. Evan, I went off.
Well, but I'm watching Seinfeld, which I do from time to time. I'll throw the captions on.
Why?
Because it helps me memorize the lines better.
Oh my gosh. Active listening skills?
Well, that's true, but it makes it easier to retain.
And then it takes up all the screen on a nice, pretty HD.
You can adjust the size.
But turn that off.
All right, Goo. Goo loves Calvin and Hobbes.
Dude.
Come on. Come on, 6'5".
Oh, man.
That's a low blow. All right, Goo. So with the Niners yesterday, and I was thinking about this, because especially with our last segment, we were getting into Purdy and some of the plays that he had to make. Beautiful 3rd-and-18 dime to Ricky Pearsall,
dart,
right on the money. Yeah, dart, dot, whatever you want to call it. He also had a nice throw to, it was Hodgins, kind of like towards the sideline on the shoulder. DeMarcus Robinson also looked really good.
I had him written down.
So unfortunately, he's not going to be present for the first few games of the season.
So is there any way he can fadangle or finesse his way out of this, what we think, suspension? Like, Evan, why are they not doing it? Oh, preseason don't count, I get it, but... Is there so we know he'll be missing week one in Seattle?
I think he pled no contest. Now, of course, Rashee Rice is going to be available week one.
And that's
a freaking joke.
Evan, you are, get your books in order, Goodell. You're right. Can you believe? Go ahead. I hear you, E. I don't want to, man.
He almost ruined people's lives.
No doubt about it, man.
And I know, God forbid no one died in the accident, but the dude's a bleeping idiot. Yeah.
And he's available early because of whatever mess you got going on with your guys' calendar.
You got problems with guys placing little bets and only hurting themselves. Man. You got problems with guys smoking pot.
Rashee
Rice gets to play all he wants.
No, like, Kenny, seriously, think about that, man. That stinks, Roger.
It's the NFL. That's what they do. As long as it doesn't make them look bad, they don't care.
So with that said, and I'm glad that was a real one, Evan, do you think there could be a delay and Robinson could be out there week one in Seattle? Who knows at this point?
Well, no, I think
for sure.
Well, he played no contest to a Dewey, so I think he's going to be out for a few games. But the point is, as I digress, yeah. I think the point for me was he looks like he's going to help them this year at the wide receiver position. And I will say, I know it was only one drive and Brock Purdy looked really good. They did not look like they missed Juwan Jennings. I personally don't think that 20 million is going to be on the table.
So you're saying you didn't think about Jennings at all? I did, E.
No, I didn't. I think that they're obviously better with him, and that's not what I'm trying to say.
And I'm not saying they missed him. I just thought about, like, man, that's a big component not out here.
Yeah, you want your full cast of characters, and I think having him is certainly better than not, but to me, the amount of plays that Brock Purdy is going to have to make is independent of Juwan Jennings, in my mind. Like, I think how many plays he's going to have to make is because the running game, with maybe a lack of talent on the offensive line, maybe a lack of depth behind McCaffrey in the backfield, it's going to be tougher for them to play ahead of the chains. And this is where I was going last segment, if during 2023, Brock Purdy had to make 4 or 5 plays a game for them to be in position to win. He could make 3 to 4 of them.
Oh, okay. That's where I was going.
Now he's going to have to make like 8 or 9 plays a game. And if he makes 6 or 7 of them, that's great, but that's tougher to do. If he only makes 5 of those 8 or 9, that might cost you. And so he's making more plays, but it's because he's in a position to have to, more than he ever has before. And that's where I guess I'm a little concerned about Brock.
No, you should be. And I'll tell you what, our eyes won't lie. The film doesn't lie. So, you know, Evan, we'll be able to watch games. And let's just say a scenario Niner fans don't want to hear. They lose a game, but Purdy has, you know, pulled a rabbit out of his hat like 5 times that game. And then the 6th rabbit he's trying to pull out, he can't get, the Niners lose. I don't come in here and say to you, and nor would you ask, have you lost any confidence in Brock? We're going to remember it's everything involved. And those 5 times that he was spectacular or kept a play alive, like, that doesn't just go away. But, Evan, why I'm excited again is we get into these cockamamie conversations in sports all across the board. And we did it Friday with the rankings with the quarterbacks and who gets more credit, da-da-da-da-da. But for so long, and maybe to, you know, his credit, Brock Purdy was almost protected in conversations because he was so young and mystery relevant and everything was rich around him. But what if I told you, and it coincides with him getting this bag, that I'm lightweight excited to see if he can do more? I really haven't had the energy to tell you all I don't think he's capable. But, Evan, what if I told you my quarterback senses are – they're just inspired to see if Brock can do more, because no matter how you slice it, the 2025 Niners are going to need him to do what you just said. Make 4 or 5 more plays, and the bottom line is, can he do it?
Well, and so you're excited about that.
No, see, yeah, I am. And I, Evan, there's a part of me that thinks, what if he pulls this off?
That would make me nervous. Asking Brock Purdy to make twice as many plays
from what you've seen of him thus far, or just the fact that you don't think he has the weaponry or the wherewithal around him that's equal to what he's had in the past?
Like, the answer is yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah, yes.
Well, and again, that's why coming away from Saturday, the thing that I was most optimistic about was the budding relationship, it appears, between Purdy and the man who wears number one. Ricky. Here's what Shanahan had to say.
The more they're out there together, the better they both get. So Ricky got a late start, but he's put together here a couple good weeks, and he's been that way in practice, and it was good to get him out there in the game today for at least that drive.
How about this? The more comfortable those two look together, the more comfortable I feel with Brock Purdy having to make more plays.
That's super fair. I almost want to say that to myself and steal it. I get it, but what about Shasky? And I got to say this because as I was driving to the airport, he gave one of the best – gave you and Steiny while you were at the Monk recaps of a practice ever. And I'm just saying, what if he's right, but it didn't look that way Saturday if Pearsall has some problems getting off man coverage, like that bump and run. I didn't see that, and they probably were in zone or whatnot. But, like, I remember that, like, because I'm going to watch that. But it didn't look like he had any problems Saturday, and I'm not saying they were playing man. It felt like they weren't having. But, man, other than that, you should, and Niner fans should be excited about this connection.
Yeah, and look, I wasn't at the joint practice, so I didn't see every single play, but I did read on social media that he was matched up with Patrick Surtain quite a bit.
Well, he's one of the best in the game.
He's literally the DPOY last year. Okay. So him not being able to get off press man against the best cover corner in football.
All right. Me sparring with Tyson.
Yeah, like, you know, guys have good games, bad reps. But also, like, there's some damn good corners in this league. We make a big deal about how great D'Amador Lenore has been against someone like DK Metcalf and another
new
bigger, physical wide receiver. So, you know, Pearsall, in really, I would say, going into his first full offseason because he was either hurt or then he got shot, having bad reps against one of the better defenses in the league, that doesn't concern me.
Okay, I got you.
But I need to go out and see it. The reason why they drafted him is because they were looking for somebody who could beat man coverage.
I don't know what is his mannerisms. Like, there's just a natural, I'm going to catch the ball and run my precise route thing to him, and we got to see more in traffic or whatnot. But he was giving it to the Cowboys last year, the game I went to where I joined you and Lowe on the pre, but he kind of didn't build on that. But I don't say that's all his fault, you know, because a lot of stuff was going on. Wrong around the team, but it's going to be imperative if this dude, I guess, let me ask you this, Evan. I don't know what's going on with Jennings, but would you prefer Ricky Pearsall in year two as your number one over Jennings, who's never been a one? If they had to draw it up that way, would you feel better about the Niners receiving core if Jennings was putting up more numbers than, Pearsall was putting up more numbers than Jennings?
Yes. Now,
I was thinking, to me,
it's not necessarily just about numbers. It's, and I guess the two are intertwined, but who's Brock Purdy going to?
Yeah. And right now, I think, they haven't played one game, but Evan, I feel like week one, number one's going to be the answer, and that's Pearsall.
I think a big reason why Juwan Jennings put up the numbers he did last year is because Brock Purdy wasn't comfortable throwing to anyone else besides him or George Kittle for much of the year. And Pearsall had a couple big games down the stretch, but because of injury and what other things, he wasn't available much. And this is kind of what we're talking about. The 650 and the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Which wide receiver are you throwing to in third down situations? I would like to, by midway through the year, get to the point where the answer to that question is Ricky Pearsall.
All right.
That's what you drafted him to be.
And that's what we're talking about. But the reality is today, Evan, that's got to be Jennings, right?
No. On 3rd and 18, and I know. Juwan wasn't on the field, but on 3rd and 18, Brock delivered the ball to Ricky Pearsall.
I mean, but Jennings wasn't an option, and I guess what I'm saying is that when it's ones against ones, it's going to be way more difficult, and the person with the most experience in doing that, even on the Super Bowl, is Jennings. So I got to believe the answer to that would be Jennings is in the lead of that now, or you could be right. Brock and your boy have been cooking to where when Jennings comes back, I still have that rapport with Pearsall, and that's going to happen as soon as we start playing.
Well, I think one of the advantages that Pearsall has is that Jennings hasn't practiced.
Ah, man.
And because either he's hurt or he's quote-unquote hurt, they haven't been getting a lot of reps together that Purdy and Pearsall have. So I think Shanahan's right. Every time they're on the field together, they get better together. And when week one comes around, whether Jennings is there or not, I do think that chemistry will matter, and it's going to manifest itself in Ricky Pearsall looking like number one option.
Yeah, they had it going. I know it was just a, come on, Goo, it's a preseason game. But I was like, man, I was impressed as I can be. And you're right, DeMarcus Robinson, I mean, again, he had more touchdowns last year with the Rams than Jennings had here. And I know the Niners offense last year wasn't Picasso, you know?
No, it was not. Speaking of an artist, do you want to get to Denzel?
And I need your help because I don't want to fight because I haven't seen it yet. Okay, no doubt. So this is what I want to do with you and Kenny and the listeners. There was a scene in the movie, and I need to, because it bothered me, Evan, and my son's like, dude, what's up, man? What are you going through movie-wise? So there's a scene. Denzel's obviously older. He's chasing somebody way younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I just throw my hands up like, it's unrealistic. He can't, why are you, why was this filmed? There's no way old-ass Denzel is catching my mans. I don't want to ruin it, but Evan, what can you prescribe to me to where I got to stop? It's entertainment, but I said, Spike, you signed off on this? And they showed it as if it were a close. Evan, no, help me out, E.
I think that's 100% fair.
I'm like, I'm out. Give me my red vine. What are we doing, E? Spike.
You can't have guys playing too far out of position. You know, he's Denzel Washington, not Tyreek Hill. He's not going to catch again.
Oh,
Denzel
maybe
Washington
young Denzel.
Is 73 years
day
old.
Denzel, maybe, but come on. My man's walking with a limp throughout the flick, and now he's chasing the dudes in the streets of New York.
Well, that's the biggest issue we've run into with modern-day action movies is that the majority of stars, I mean, it's like watching Julio Franco out there at age 45 trying to hit a baseball. Right. You're hoping that he can.
Oh, E,
and he
I
can
just pictured
sometimes.
The bat he swung. Boy, he was a strong dude.
I mean, even Tom Cruise is starting to push it at age 60. That's what I loved about F1 with Brad Pitt is he was running. But he was jogging.
Oh, no doubt.
And he wasn't chasing anybody.
Oh, man.
The movie that I've hated, I'm more holding in contempt than anything else, is the most recent Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, now you're really pushing it out.
Harrison Ford is 80 freaking years old. This guy is not the archaeologist of old who is swinging on vines like George in the Jungle. You cannot tell me that this man at age 80, and God love him, he's one of the greatest to ever do it. But I'm sorry, he is not chasing down bad guys left and right anymore.
Oh, I appreciate that you were there for me to. And I'll say this about the last thing about the movie.
Now you make me not want to watch it.
No. Hey, it's just one. This is when you know you're acting. I got mad at Denzel as if I knew him for his role and portrayal in this movie of this said character. So that's how great he did when I'm there and I got mad as if it were real life. And he was like, I had to drive home like it's just a movie. It was a role he chose to do. But Evan, that's when you're kicking that role's ass. When I believe fans are kind of like, did he go there? And that's why I drove home. Like, it was an entertaining movie. By far not Denzel's best work. I hadn't heard of the script at all. I guess it's been around, and Denzel came across it and wanted to do it. So I'll leave that there. But, Evan, there was a part to where I go, am I getting older to where I'm just questioning this race or this – you're right. I mean, man. So, E, the great takeaway was the acting was there for me. And I'm going to give Spike Lee kudos. I don't know if you know this. Evan, every movie has, if it's Do the Right Thing, Jungle, the same people get jobs under him. And that was cool to see. Rosie Perez, you know, she's in it. Mookie, you know.
Well, that's like, it's funny. We were talking about head coaches and quarterbacks, like the importance of relationships in sports. I do think a director and an action star, or not an action star, but a particular
that's
star, that is important. Like Malcolm X is like, that was the first Spike Lee joint that I saw where it was him paired with Denzel Washington.
Wow.
That's a relationship that I'm going to watch any movie that they do together. And I'll still watch this one, Highest to Lowest is what we're talking about. But, you know, the most recent one that's probably taken off is is Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler.
Oh, great call, man.
Anytime they're together, I'm watching those films.
Damn, E, that's a great call.
But I would hope at some point Michael B. Jordan would have the awareness to know that you can't be the same action star you always were.
I got you. I hear you. But since I brought up physique envy, I mean, your boy's swole too, Michael B. Jordan.
Well, he is. But yeah, but at age 73, he's not going to be sprinting like Jesse Owens.
Or asked to, hopefully, by Ryan.
I mean,
Otis Byrd III said, we're all getting up there, goo. I get it.
Well, we are, but we're not being asked to chase down villains, you know, sprint 200-meter dashes.
Now, I could have chased him down in my age. So there you go. Thumbs up. For Denzel, that's like Norm running after somebody.
I think Lo Neal could have caught him.
Hey, be careful. Wow.
Sorry. I don't know,
but
man.
But he played that role so tough. Guys, it made me want to just like, oh, what a jerk. Like that's acting. It could be the role itself, but he brought it home to where.
Do you think Denzel would call you an opinionaire
that's going to stay with me.
On
that
his
was
physique?
Great. Well, no, he looks good.
His athletic capabilities is really what you're coming down his road.
Played it for him.
Good at something.
Oh, my gosh. He's probably talking to me, man.
Well, I always wonder when those guys kind of feel like it's the end. For example, Equalizer 3, I was like, I don't really know if... I don't know if those physical roles are still in their ability. Like, I'm looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers. I kind of think Aaron Rodgers is cooked physically. Like, he can't really move around.
You look at his numbers last year without watching the games, and I had to check myself.
Yeah, but you watch the games.
Okay, and
when you watch the games, you see that he can't really move anymore.
You knocked that out the park. Kane Slybender... I'm serious. Just take some HGH. Like, that's the rich man thing. And it's not steroids. It improves your breathing, your hair.
Human growth hormone?
Yeah, listen, I saw Brian Gumbel, Real Sports, on HBO, and it was a compare-contrast steroids to HGH. It grows your hair back, improves your breathing, your skin, your tendons. That's how T.O. was able to come back on the Eagles when he broke his leg to play in the Super Bowl. I'm just telling you. It's not steroids, and Kenny, if you had some, I'd ask for some.
It's not an anabolic steroid, but it is.
Doesn't hurt your organs, though.
It's a PED, though. It's a performance-enhancing drug. That's why you can't take it.
Yeah, it helps you come back from injury faster, too, like Andy Pettit.
Oh, that's why
that's what I want.
Athletes can't take it.
That's what it would help my physique.
Goo.
Barry took it.
No kidding.
All right, there we go.
Although technically, I don't think he was ever
talking about selling people out, goo.
No, yeah, Lance Armstrong, dude, it helps you. It's not Evan. It doesn't harm your organs like steroids. That's
no,
all.
Not
I'm
as
saying.
Badly, but it is a performance enhancing.
Yeah, but
drug.
If we're regular Joes like you and I,
but
and
I'm
I want to
taking
get...
it unless I absolutely go. Right, okay. Maybe we can ask Willard and Dibbs on the other side.
Give me some.
All right, we got the steroid conversation coming up next on The Crossover, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Now, that's what's coming up on the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Crossover next, Willard and Dibbs. That segment brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
Try that.